Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Okay, thank you so much for that reading, and thank you for having me over at Emmanuel. And it's actually my first time of coming into this building. For somebody who has lived in Croydon for 36 years, it's taken me 36 years to make this journey. But here we are. I'm not going to say much about myself. I just want to focus on the message that we have tonight. There is something that springs out of this scripture that we have read tonight that I want to challenge us on, and hopefully... There's echo sound, isn't it? I can pick up some echo. It's not coming from me, is it? No, okay. Something that springs out of the message tonight that I want to share with you. And it's when I was reading the scripture, it says, when Jesus reached the place... There was a place, there was a particular place that he was aiming to. And the first thing I want to talk about tonight is, have you located the place? Do you know the place? Is there a place? And I'm going to tell you a story tonight to help you. You see, it says Jesus was... going to the place. And he came to the Mount of Olives. And we know the story. He prayed at that place. And a lot of, I've been to the Mount of Olives a few times. It's one of the beautiful sites that I like to go and visit when I go to Israel. And did you know that so many Jews have had a wish that they want to be buried somewhere near the Mount of Olives? Because so many of them believe that when the Messiah comes, that he's going to touch down there, and that they will be the first to be resurrected for some reason. I don't understand why they think that way. But it's a beautiful sight. It says that when Jesus reached the place... And I often ask myself questions, where is that place for me? For some of us, we know where the place is and we head towards that place. It's easy for us to locate that place. It's easy for us to identify that place. But for others, like Jacob in Genesis chapter 28, he'd been at the place, but he didn't know. And his response was, oh, the Lord God is in this place, but I didn't know it. And so even if you do not know the place that you're going or you're supposed to be, you know, to be sighted, never mind, it will come to you. God will make sure that it comes to you. There is always a place for a believer. There is always a place that we all can remember, that we all can think about, and we know that is it for me. During my interview, I told you I did not want to come to England. I just, the story and of the church in England wasn't as vibrant as some of the churches in my home country. Initially, I thought God sent me to England to punish me. I may have done something wrong. And but you see, I have come to understand that it is the place for me. It is where God wanted me to be, but I did not know it because I was looking at it and judging it from a different perspective. But this is the place. And I've said to everybody who knows me, I said, if the Lord was to take me home today, make sure you bury my ashes in Croydon. Because this is where God wants me to be. I had an encounter some years ago. There is a place called the Community of the Servants of the Will of God. It's a monastery in Crawley. And it's attached to the Church of England. It was at a time that people were flying to Toronto in 1996, I believe. People were flying to Toronto because of the Toronto experience. They were going to the Vineyard Church in Toronto, and people were coming back with all kinds of stories. I could not afford a flight to go to Toronto. So out of desperation, I went to the monastery, because at the monastery, they don't charge you a fee. You just give what you can. So I went there to pray. Whilst I was out there, one clear afternoon, sunny, bright afternoon, I was out in the woods, I think it's about 50 acres of woodland, I heard a noise behind me. I kid you not, I was on my own, it was bright, I heard a noise behind me. So I thought one of the monks was coming out, you know, to go for a walk. And so I looked behind me, and there was nobody. So I continued with my prayer. The noise happened again. I looked again, nobody behind me, and I continued with my prayer. At this time, I'm beginning to wonder what's going on here. And the third time I looked, there was nobody behind me. I felt the presence of God. I felt that God had shown me in that place about his being. He revealed himself to me in that place. And out of fear, I ran into my room. Usain Bolt could not catch me. Nobody could have outrun me because of the fear of God that I had. I was so afraid of God that night that I ran as quickly as possible to escape from God into my room. And as I got into that, my 6x4 bedroom, that's how small the rooms are, I shut the door and I got down on my knees. And the sound I heard outside was in my room before I got there. You cannot tell me that that was not God. That, for me, friends, was the place. It was the place where God confirmed to me that he had me here for a purpose. It was the place that God showed me that his hand was upon me. It was the place that God showed me that he called me to this nation to do a work for him. So have you located the place? When Jesus reached the place, he knew where he was going, but for some of us, the place will locate you. The second thing I pick up from here is that the place is not for the crowd or faint-hearted. He said that Jesus took his disciples. It's not the crowd that you need to get going. It's not the crowd that you need to get what God wants you to do. It's not the crowd following that you need. I have done some crazy things in Croydon. Some of you may have heard about the sound of the trumpet at Fairfield Hall. I have held events there for 2 years running. I don't have the crowd. And if I had set it up in a committee, nobody would have listened to me. So I went and booked Fairfield Hall because I thought I had God. And the rest is history. To have more than 1,000 Christians, some from Emmanuel, the first year we held it, Emmanuel led in worship. And I thank God for the support of churches like Emmanuel and other churches who come together because they believe that together we can achieve more. I've got nothing of my own too. I'm not as tall as John. We don't have a building as beautiful as Emmanuel. But you know what we've got together? We've got Jesus. We've got trust. So the place is not for the crowd or faint-hearted. It's not for anybody. He says, and the disciples only followed him. You just need a few people. I think it was Jonathan's armor bearer, who said to Jonathan, "The Lord God is able to save, whether with many or by few." Am I correct? You know, God is able to do what he wants to do in Croydon, whether there are many of us or just a few of us. The third thing I learned about from this story is that he said Jesus went away from even the disciples to go and pray by himself. There is a time to pull away from the crowd to use the place. There is a time when you need to pull away and hear God for yourself. There is a time that you need to go away from the disciples to hear God from yourself, because ultimately you'll be held accountable for what God tells you that you hear. So pull away from the crowd. You know, when I went to the monastery, it was because the crowd was confusing me. It felt to me at the time that if I didn't go to Toronto, I would not be seen as somebody who had succeeded. All my friends went to Toronto, and the only reason I didn't go was because I could not afford it. But I pulled away from the crowd. I pulled away from everybody else, and I went to see God's face. And I thank God that I did what I did. Because had I gone to Toronto where everybody else was, maybe I would have missed the experience that I had from going into 50 acres of woodland. By the way, the dinner is not fantastic, in case you're thinking of going there. You go there in the evenings, they serve you cold porridge. I come from Nigeria, we don't eat cold porridge at night. But when you are in the place, there's solitude, there's you, and there is God. Every other thing pales into insignificance. But I found out also that in that place, God answers prayers. God will show up. When you are in the center of what God wants you to do, God will show up. I was talking to, I think it was John and Wendy, I was talking to a coffee, we had coffee last week, and I said, it may sound like I'm not telling you the truth, but we have a building in Croydon, 13,000 square feet of property, that we signed the initial license for £1. And everybody, there were 25 companies, 25 organizations in Croydon that expressed an interest in going into the building. The interview was whittled down to about three of us, three groups. But everybody who dropped out of the race was because they saw something that I did not see. They saw impossibilities. They saw a building without wiring. They saw a building without electricity. They saw a building without heating. They saw a building that required much work. I went beyond that. I saw a finished building. That's the difference between being in the place and being out of the place. I went to God in prayer and I asked God, "Do you want us to take this place or not?" And God said, "Go for it." And you see, when God says go for it, no man can stop you. I had an experience at the beginning of this year. My wife and I, we went to our morning exercise place. And as we got to the place, our gym, my car would not, the engine went, the light went. It never happened before. And we couldn't get it started. So I asked for the RAC guys to come in and tow the car to the garage, not far from here. And I thought it was going to be a very fairly simple work, until the garage called me a couple of days later and said to me it was going to cost £4,000 to fix the car, that the battery alone in my car would cost £2,000. I think, you know, here it says somewhere, "And the angel came and strengthened him." I wasn't looking for an angel. I was looking for the rapture. Because I didn't have £4,000 to give to nobody to fix a car. It was January. We had just finished Christmas and hadn't finished paying off for Christmas presents and all that. And so I wanted to take the car to the dealers because the garage in South Croydon said they couldn't fix my car. So I decided to take it to the dealers. Dealers said it would take about 2 or 3 weeks to fix it. So to tow the car from South Croydon to Coolsden cost me about £110. And that was really painful because AA said they could only do one relay. And then to tow my car from my house to the dealer in Coolsden was going to be another £110. So I managed to convince the dealers to take the car. Dealers called me and told me that it was going to cost about £4,000. So they confirmed what the other guys told me. And I didn't know what to do. So I was waiting for the date that they said they would fix the car. But one afternoon, I went into Croydon. And as I was walking in Croydon, finished my business, and I was walking back to the office, nearly got back to my office, when I kind of heard God in my spirit say, go back into Croydon town. So I didn't quite make it to my office. I went back. And I was looking for a cash machine because I needed to get something for my mom. And the cash machine that was available was the only one I could think of was that one at Barclays Bank by the tram line. And as I was walking to to the cash machine, there was a man who was out there. I heard the man say, can somebody get me something to eat? I pretended I didn't hear him, but I heard him. Then he said something. I preached about Mephibosheth. You remember when David said, is there no one in the house of Saul that I could bless? And this man said, is there no one kind enough in Croydon to buy me a meal? I am hungry. And so I took the money and I walked up to the man and I said, where would you want me to go and get you some food? The man said, just go to Costa and get me some hot chocolate. So I went to Costa, and as I was walking away, he said to me, there's my friend opposite. If you can please get 2 cups. I went to Costa, and it cost me £8.40 or £8.80 for 2 cups of hot chocolate. Quite expensive. And I came and I gave it to the man, and the man said, God will bless you. Something about what the man said hit my spirit. As I got into my office and I sat down, I got a phone call. It was from the dealers. Remember, I'm talking about the place, being at the place where God wants you to be and hearing his voice. And the dealer said to me that they had finished, that they were going to fix my car the following day. Remember, they said it was going to cost about £4,000. But the person who spoke to me said, we've never done this before. The management of the company have decided to do it for you free of charge, at no cost. Such things, you don't ask questions. Please, don't ask questions. You just keep quiet and say, thank you very much. On the day that I needed to pick up my car, I went in there and I thought, they're going to spring a surprise on me. I haven't got this money. She'll probably say, sorry, we gave you wrong information. It was a wrong telephone call. She came out with my car keys and she handed them to me and said, Mr. Luke, you can go home. You don't have anything to pay. It was only when I got in the car that I gave a big hallelujah shout offering. I couldn't do it in her presence lest they cancel the whole thing that I did. Why am I sharing this? Because if you're in the place, God will send you help. I listened to the video that Carol shared with us in the 12th century, how that Croydon was a center of revival. And the archbishop came and lived here 500 years or so. You know what? The same God who did what he did in the 12th century can do it again. We are standing together because we believe that God wants to use Croydon. God wants to use you and I. It's been said, can anything good come out of Croydon? During the 2011 riots, I was the vice chair of the riots panel in Croydon. And when the young people came to give their statements, one of the things they said was that there's nothing good in Croydon. And somebody had the audacity to say, can anything good come out of Croydon? We serve the devil notice and we say to the church, let's rise up together because God is about to do something in Croydon. God is about to elevate Croydon. We who were despised will become recognized. We who people thought were nobodies, we will become something great. So let's celebrate that with great joy, with great anticipation, as we await for what God wants to do. Thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. Can I have the band please come back and let's worship God. And as we worship God, if you feel that this story resonates with you and you want to say, God, use me, give me my location, give me my GPS location in the scheme of things so that I will know for sure that you have called me to do a certain thing, and whatever it is, let's all stand, if that's okay, if that's the practice in this church. I'm not an Anglican, so I don't know how you do things. So I'm at liberty tonight to be a bit Pentecostal. So can I ask you to stand? And as the team begin to play, let's just respond to what God wants to do. Emmanuel, respond. I looked, John took me and showed me the plaque on the wall and who God has sent out from here. There is a gap. We need to fill that gap. But maybe God is bringing us together to do a new work. Let's all just worship, will we?
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.